It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Nathan Young, CEO of Mods PDX. And also with us is Keegan Flandurka, principal at Base Design and Architecture. Hey guys, welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Certainly. So, how about we get started by finding out who you guys are? Nathan, let's start with you. What is Mods PDX?
Mods PDX is a modular builder located here in Portland, Oregon. I started it in 2008, and we've been doing high-end modular construction, single-family, multifamily, and actually a diverse portfolio of different products over the last 15-plus years. We aligned with Base Architecture and Design when they started. Keegan came out of WPA, which was an architectural firm locally here in Portland that actually designed one of my last apartment buildings that I built over in St. John's. And so Keegan and I became friends during that process and have been working together ever since.
Describe a modular home to us.
So a modular home is really just off-site construction, meaning that we design the building so that we can break it up into subcomponents, and then those subcomponents are built in a warehouse, and then we deliver the components to the job site, typically large volumetric components, so they're up to 16 feet wide, 60 feet long, 12 feet tall, 10-foot ceilings, and then we bring them together and bringing them all together. And then on site, we'll add roofs and different components to be able to set them up to be a house. So it's wow. Much the way that a cabinet maker designs cabinets for you in your kitchen, goes to a shop, builds all the parts and pieces, and then delivers the kitchen cabinets. Our modular approach is very similar to that. It's just that they're very complicated cabinets.
Yeah, and much larger cabinets.
Much larger.
So what are the advantages of doing the construction offsite?
A lot of the advantages that we focus on have to do with energy efficiency and sustainability. So we're really focused on water management, being able to build a building that's going to mitigate building envelope failures. That's a lot of building. But in the sense, by building it offsite in the Pacific Northwest, we take the elements out of play. And then a lot of the projects that we do, we're focused on reaching some form of either net zero or passive house, which are energy standards for the area.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's amazing technology that you can build a house somewhere else and bring it in.
Yeah.
Put it together.
And a lot of it has to do with the design. The design is so critical to that component working, which is why we have such a strong relationship with Base.
Cool. Well, let's bring in Keegan again, principal at Base Design and Architecture. Tell me about Base, Keegan.
Yeah. So we started in 2018. As Nathan mentioned, I came out of another local Portland firm, WPA. Where we had met about 9 years ago. I ended up setting up Base with my business partner, Drew Schreiner, and he and I kind of set out to set up a commercial, full-service commercial and residential architecture firm. And given our existing relationship with Nathan Young and Mods PDX, we decided to focus on prefabricated or modular construction. And so, as Nathan mentioned, it's somewhat of a unique strategy, and because of that, the design process is a bit more tailored and a bit unique compared to most kind of site-framed, site-constructed projects.
Tell me about that uniqueness. What makes it so unique?
Well, like Nathan mentioned, we have kind of a dimensional tolerances that we have to work within. So, you know, we're trying to achieve larger scale structures, you know, a large house, but it's made out of these kind of pre-designed, prefabricated components. And so it becomes kind of this, for lack of a better term, a puzzle of trying to piece together these elements without it really reading like the individual elements. The kind of end goal when Nathan and I sit down to start looking at a project is finding an avenue to make that final design read as though it is not made up of parts whatsoever, but as though it was designed and built right there on site.
It's so interesting. What a cool concept. So not only are you guys working on modular homes together, you're working on something else called Hone. Tell me about Hone. Nathan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, Hone actually was created as a way to kind of service a part of the market that we can't really currently reach. What we found is that doing smaller ADUs, which is ironic, we don't do a lot of ADUs, single box units for most of the market. We realized that in order to achieve that market, we needed to have some standardization. And Drew, Keegan's partner, really focused on kind of several projects that we had that were coming down the line that once we designed them, they were too expensive to build, and how we could kind of rectify that situation by having a standardized design. And so Hone is the evolution of standardization for us in a modular platform. Essentially, we came up with five different designs that range in square footages from about 350 square feet up to almost 900 square feet. But there's a lot of similarities that exist within them, but they're still focused on kind of the elements of what we hold to be true, which is high design and high energy efficiency or sustainability. So within these models, we've been able to create some different standards of energy efficiency, and then it'll allow clients to be able to call and not have to go through that custom design process, which can be very time consuming and inherently very expensive, which eliminates a lot of people from being able to purchase units.
Keegan, tell me your thoughts on Hone.
Yeah, to kind of expand on what Nathan said, I mean, we came about this kind of, for lack of a better term, haphazardly. We were trying to solve a problem that we were encountering with a number of clientele, where someone came to us with a piece of property with an idea for a structure, but wanted the benefits of prefabricated construction. Wanted, as we know, the kind of the energy efficiency aspects of the sustainability aspects of it. Schedule enhancement for the overall construction duration, but also didn't want to go through that custom design process. It can be very tedious. It can certainly be costly, and it's just not for everyone. And so what Hone became was really just this opportunity to take kind of lessons learned over a number of these prior projects and find a way to kind of take all the kind of fun, unique, custom design elements and standardize them into a manner that's, a bit more digestible, a bit more approachable to your kind of everyday clientele. And what we ended up doing is just kind of creating something that appears to be custom on its surface. But realistically, you're approaching the purchase of a Hone product not unlike what you would go through with a car purchase, where you would pick a model, you'd pick a trim, and you get some degree of customization, but you don't have to go through that kind of time and expense of going through a full custom design.
It's probably a lot less daunting to a client to have that
exactly.
option too.
Yeah.
What does Hone bring to the market that isn't already available?
So I would say what we provided here is kind of a flexibility and model that you don't see in a lot of other products. It's also just a level of quality that's not necessarily there in what some other opportunities with these kind of, you could say, kit apart structures. We have, a series of models with kind of the detailing, like I discussed, of kind of almost a custom level residence, but in just kind of a more approachable and digestible manner.
Yeah, go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah, so I mean, what we're trying to reach is we're not necessarily trying to reach the lowest cost market, if you will. We're just trying to create something that gives people an option to have high design without going through that extensive process of having to think about everything from the kitchen knob. So we're doing integrated poles in the cabinets and things that you would only see typically in our higher end product. But we're able to, because we're standardizing it and doing it in volume, we're able to lower that cost a little bit, which is, to Keegan's point, what's making it a little bit more attainable for more clients. It also allows you to get to an end goal much quicker because we already have these pre-permitted, so you can call and you can order one, and then we just have to get the permit done for your local jurisdiction. So that 9-month design permitting process that typically happens in a custom home when you go through all of that entitlement phase now can be shrunk down to a couple, 3 months based only on the local jurisdiction. So the engineering's already completed, everything's already figured out for these units, which makes it much quicker to market for an individual.
Yeah, from start to finish, what kind of timeline are you looking at when somebody says, yeah, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, so based on different jurisdictions, there's going to be a little bit of flexibility in that. It kind of depends on how the permitting process is going to go. City of Portland, you might be looking at something that's 4 to 5 months, most of that being taken up in the permit process, and then depending upon your site. Some of the other outlying areas, we anticipate you could have a unit within 3 months delivered and installed.
Wow. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Compared to building a giant house, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the design's already done. The permitting's already done. We don't have to go through that long, drawn-out process. So as a comparison right now with a standard custom home, from the day that a client starts to interact with us till they're finally in their house and it's all complete, that process typically can be closer to a year and a half to 2 years. Uh-huh. With a year of that being just in the design, permitting, kind of going through the finishes, picking out the tile. I mean, you think about how many elements are in your house and having to make a choice about every single one of those. It's extremely daunting, right? I mean, it takes up a ton of time, and then trying to integrate those into a process that's going to work and make sure that you pick the right colors. Whereas we've kind of taken a step back, and Keegan and Drew have done a phenomenal job of looking at these and saying, well, these are kind of our high design elements that we know work really, really well, and we know these color palettes work really well. We're not painting the walls so that you have some options to put some different color in there, but the way that the functionality and the spatial relationship of the units work, it's very well thought out, and there's not a lot of reason to want to change it.
What all does Hone offer?
As far as unit types?
Yeah.
So Hone is actually a two-part company. We have the high design single module units that are going to be anywhere from a studio unit up to a two-bedroom. And then we also have a separate line that's more geared towards institutional for houseless individuals, where we do emergency housing units that we designed after we did the St. John's Village over in St. John's, Portland, here just down the road from us. We built 19 sleeping units and then a commercial office and resident space. And through that process, Keegan and I looked at the total overall budget cost of that project and realized that we could do it more efficiently with a different design. So we actually started down this standardization line in early 2000, right after we got done with the St. John's Village, specifically geared towards doing these modulars for the homeless population.
Wow, that's cool. That must be quite a process, because the houselessness is a definite problem.
It's a significant problem, and we currently have a project that we're working on with Clackamas County, and then one at the end of the year that we'll be starting with the City of Hillsborough.
We're talking today with Nathan Young, CEO of Mods PDX, and Keegan Flandurka, principal at Base Design and Architecture. Let's bring Keegan back in and talk about the incorporation of a workforce development program. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that was kind of a unique opportunity that we came across in trying to lay out this. You know, we were looking at what the market needed. We approached it from kind of first this kind of private consumer looking at kind of a pseudo custom but still kind of relatively standardized residential product. Then we were looking at it from how we could work with jurisdictions to kind of standardize emergency shelter and transitional housing products. And then we realized that there was kind of another hole, which was one that we're seeing kind of across, not just here in Oregon, but across the country, and that's a hole in skilled construction labor. And so we thought in line with both the standardization of these designs and these housing products, that we would also look at kind of a standardization program to develop this kind of much needed skill set that's right now lacking in our industry.
Nathan, do you have anything to add to that?
I do.
of course you do.
Workforce development has been a passion of mine for about the last 10 to 15 years. Actually, I started MODS in 2008, seeing that we were having such a shortage of supply of labor that I figured if we could centralize the means of production into one facility, we'd have a better chance at trying to control the end product. In the last 10 years, we've kind of seen the exacerbation of this, where so many people have left the industry and we're not getting new individuals into the industry, and we don't have trade programs in high schools anymore, so people aren't even getting exposed to the opportunities of construction and the benefits of construction. As we looked at trying to standardize these units, I really saw the opportunity for us to be able to create a training program, because when you're doing the same thing over and over again, it's going to be easier to get somebody to understand the benefits of it. As we start to look at the sector of home where we're dealing with the houseless units, we really saw that as an opportunity to say, okay, well, if we could train people how to build these units in a program and then deliver them, we've kind of encompassed that full circle. So we're actually working with 31 different nonprofits right now in the Portland metro area that all have what we're considering a tier one program, which is kind of getting people into some level of construction and kind of working on some basic life skills, but they're not really getting a full understanding of what it's like to go to work from 7 a.m. till 4 p.m. and then get up and do it all over again, because those programs don't really have the capacity to be able to do that, in the sense that they don't have enough buildings opportunities. So we saw this as an opportunity to bring them into our facility where we have plenty of space, and we can set up a 16-week training program, have the individuals actually build some of these units that we're working on and selling, that will have plumbing and electrical and mechanical and sheetrock, and not just build them, but actually learn the process and try to figure out which one of those elements they might be passionate about, because that's what's critical to being a good trades individual, is having the ability to understand pride and passion. And that's something that's critical to being able to build it. And what better way to have that sense of pride than to build a house for somebody that doesn't have one or the opportunity to have one, deliver that to a site, and watch that individual walk in the door. Whenever we've done these type of projects in the past, and you go back 6 months later and have the interviews with the people, it's extremely hard to not almost tear up, because you know that you actually built the space that is changing their lives, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so we want to try to be in an opportunity where we can expose that to other individuals and really get them passionate about the whole process. So it doesn't mean that individuals that come out of this program are necessarily going to want to get into carpentry or plumbing or electrical. They might want to get into design. They might want to get into engineering. But there's so many sectors of our industry that need individuals and need that passion and pride. That's what we're trying to stimulate with these individuals.
What happened to the workforce? Why is there nobody in the construction workforce? $1 million question.
It's $1 million question. I mean, it's one that we've really struggled with for quite a while. And I think the last 10 years, we've all, as general contractors and owners, we've all complained about it. And as Hone was being developed and these standardized products were coming to the table, I reached out to our local home builders association that I've been a member of for many years, and then also our home builders foundation, and told them, look, I really want to start a workforce development program, because I've sat on so many workforce development committees and we talk about it, but we don't ever do anything, because nobody really takes the step forward to get people past that first tier, because it's kind of a daunting task. And this is a daunting task that we're taking on, but we see it as one that's just critical to being able to make our industry move forward.
Keegan, is there design training as well?
You know, we haven't really explored that completely yet. I think the intention right now is to just look at getting people exposed to what the entirety of the process is, and part of that being the design process. And so, you know, less of like a full established design curriculum, but more of one in which we're exposing individuals to what the design entails and what that starts to translate to in the construction you know, when you're taking that design from a two-dimensional object and starting to elevate it into a three-dimensional building, that right there will start to spur interest and start to facilitate a growth and curiosity and how you can take that design and translate it. And so I think, you know, as Nathan was saying earlier, the hope with this program is not so much that, you know, we're necessarily training some framers and a plumber and an electrician, but more about just getting people that exposure into what the overall process is, whether that is the pre-development side, the design side, or it's the you know, the finished carpentry element of it. And that way you can kind of see what that process is overall and then start to figure out where your interests lie within it and possibly where, you know, some underlying skill sets of yours lie within it.
I'll ask both of you this question. What kind of changes have you seen in the people that come in and do this work? Keegan, we'll start with you. What have you seen? How have you seen people change?
You mean regarding the workforce development program?
Yeah.
So to be completely transparent here, we're just getting this program started. So we've not actually seen a graduating class of it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we're hoping to have our first program start in June, okay. and we're targeting the first program to actually be geared towards high school graduates that have come out of one of the 11 to 12 different programs that are currently in the metro area. So we'll be underway this year, but we're just in the process of getting everything started. We're working with Work Systems on developing the curriculum and kind of the basis. We have our 501c3 status, so we're in the early stages of getting everything put together, but we will be there this year.
How do you make this a nonprofit?
So we actually started a whole nother company that is a 501c3, and then we're working with an incubation company that actually brings us in, and they monitor us as a 501c3 for a number of years and actually help us get started, because as a normal business owner, I'm not used to running the process of the tax and legal purposes of a 501c3. So they actually help us through that whole process. We pay them a small stipend to be able to kind of put us under their umbrella, and then that allows us to be able to move forward fairly quickly.
Okay. Nathan, where do you see the workforce development program going in the future?
I think on a grandiose goal, we would take the design process that we have with the emergency housing units that we've created. We'd take the curriculum that we have for the workforce development training program, and we'd make it open source for other parts of the nation to be able to utilize the information to try to train individuals. I don't think this is something that we feel that we need to own. This is something that we want to create, and we want to see what we can do with the entire industry.
That's cool. Keegan, where do you see it going in the future?
Yeah, I think to kind of expand on that, our real hope and kind of what I noted earlier was the idea that this is not a condition that's unique to Oregon in any way. It's certainly not even at a local level in the Portland Metro. This is a nationwide issue. We need to build up this kind of much needed workforce, and it is a skill set that is just unfortunately not being passed along and not being sought out, and so. I think it's one in which we want to see this program, like taking that established curriculum that we come up with, using the networks that we have here, and then trying to find networks across the country that can also support this kind of young workforce, and getting it kind of to be a nationwide program. And I think, you know, the hope with both, you know, Hone, from the workforce standpoint and from a product standpoint, is, and one in which it grows beyond just this local area. I think, you know, obviously emergency shelters and transitional housing is something that is, again, not a unique condition to our locale. And so getting these products available, getting them in the larger marketplace and getting more jurisdictions looking at it and interested in it and making strides in their own municipalities and jurisdictions to set up these projects, get these systems in place, and actually get these products on the ground is going to be critical. So the hope in my end in the next few years is that this workforce development program and these products overall move beyond just our local jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I'd like to add one thing that I think is fairly critical to this is that we started Hone. Base is its own company. Mods is its own company. We joined forces to start Hone, and we're taking a portion of our profits from Hone and directing it directly into the 501c3. So we're putting our money where our mouth is. I mean, we actually are selling these units with the intent of using the profits from those units to help then perpetuate the workforce development.
Well, that's so great. You guys are helping your own industry. That's fantastic. You know, what a great thing to do. Where's the best place to get some more information if people are looking for it?
Well, we have a website, honemodular.com.
Okay. That sounds perfect. This has been great, guys. What an interesting project you're doing. Getting it off the ground this coming summer.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. We've been talking today with Nathan Young, CEO of Mods PDX, and Keegan Flandurka, Principal at Base Design and Architecture. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.